Welcome to the Keeping It Young radio program, conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. I'm Dave.
And I'm Bethley.
And we are the Youngs. Join us now as we begin our discussion entitled Seven Vital Steps for Building a Christian Family. Today is the beginning of part five. Okay, so let's jump right back into Deuteronomy 6.
Okay, where have we been and where are we headed?
Let's see, we started this series, we're calling it the Seven Vital Steps to Building a Christian Family.
Mm-hmm.
And if you remember way back when this started, these weeks seemed to be so far apart sometimes. We talked about how that there are some passages we have to know, we have to master.
Mm-hmm.
Ephesians 4 and 5 and 6 would be one of those.
Right.
1 Peter 3 can lend that way as well.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But here's an Old Testament passage. Maybe along with Psalm 78,
mm-hmm.
but this is one of those passages that specifically talk to the nation of Israel about how to succeed in the home,
right?
And as a result, it brings God, how to have God's blessings through their success in the home,
mm-hmm.
and also how to impact their culture by succeeding in the
home.
Uh-huh. And the nation of Israel was getting ready to go into the midst of a pagan world.
Mm-hmm.
They were going to march into as the Bible, we call the Promised Land. The Bible calls it that as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it was also a land filled with pagan worship, with sexual idolatry, immorality.
Mm.
It was just an absolutely messed up world they were about to march into.
Yes.
They were going to be surrounded by people who were very anti-God, anti-righteousness, anti-purity.
Right.
And Deuteronomy 6 is written to say to them, this is what you're going to have to do if you're going to win your sons and your sons' sons. This is important. So we started with way back. Really, we didn't do a separate one on it, but one of the things that came up several times and it occurred to Bethley was that it really starts with knowing God.
Yes.
We got to know him. So we've got to win our children to Jesus.
Yes.
We've got to work on winning our grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to know God. And knowing God is not just getting saved.
Right.
Knowing God is building a living relationship with the living God.
Mm-hmm.
Either God is alive and real or he's not.
Right.
And if he's not real and he's not alive, then this is all a game anyway.
Right.
But if he is real and he is alive and we firmly are convinced that he is.
Yes.
Creation says so. Our conscience tells us so.
Yes.
The divine revelation God has given us in his word tells us so.
Mm-hmm.
There's all kinds of reasons why we believe it, but we've got to know him and build that relationship.
Yes.
And that's why we go to church. That's why we have devotions. That's why we get to know him better in all the stages and seasons of our life.
Right.
And we're going to talk about that some even today.
Yes.
So, but as far as the points we drew from the text, it is foundational on the fact that we know God.
Yes.
But then we fear God. That was our first one.
Yes.
And we won't reteach that one, but go back and listen to that one. Fear is a good thing. Fearing God is a good thing.
It is.
And a practical thing. And then we went to that Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord.
Yes.
And we talked about, yes, that's theological, but the practical application of it is that we're to keep God first in our life. No other God before him.
Right.
No little gods in our lives, whether it's sexual immorality, whether it's our work, our job, our materialism, our hobbies, our vacations, our sporting events.
Right.
God has to be first. And it has to be evident that God is first.
Yes.
That's the whole point of it.
And that takes some prayer and self-searching and Holy Spirit searching in our heart.
And a continual evaluation.
Yes, Lord, am I keeping you first? What in my life is me first and not you first?
Absolutely. And as an evangelist, some people who no longer believe in revivals, I get it. The event itself can be challenging and expensive and all those kind of things. But not having a revival would seem to be saying, there's probably no chance that anybody could ever fail to keep God first. There's probably no area where we need to improve or evaluate or change, because that's what a revival is. It's a time of intense evaluation, examination for God to work in our heart.
Right.
And Deuteronomy is saying here, look, you've got to keep God first. And then he says, love the Lord your God with all your
heart.
What's the lineup?
Heart, soul, and might.
Heart, soul, and
might. And then the Lord Jesus himself said, heart, soul, and mind.
And then in another passage, heart, soul, mind, and
strength. Yes.
And so there's several variations of how Jesus said this Old Testament verse.
Basically, it's just saying your whole being.
Everything about you.
Everything about you should be all about it. I think of our little Charity. She's our youngest. And when she was little, she was quite a chunker. She just had rolls everywhere. It was so adorable. And she was squishy. We used to say that she would smile with her whole body.
That's true.
So when she would get excited, especially to see David, she's a huge daddy's girl. I think she's still a huge daddy's girl.
Yeah, I think so too.
She would get excited to see David, and at bedtime, the other ones were still younger, and so they would all head to bed, and then I would take some time to feed Charity and put her in bed, and David would be settling in for the evening, and often when she was done nursing, she would see Daddy first, and she would just, her whole body would just quiver with delight because, there is my daddy.
It was just an amazing thing with all her heart, soul, mind, and strength.
And all her little rolls just quivering.
All of them.
And so that's what I think of when we think of our Lord. Is there everything in us that's just, oh, I am all about you, Lord. I'm in awe of you.
That's so true. It's reminding me too, when Charity was small, is when I first came up with that idea. It's the only time of her life that I can compliment and tease her about having chubby legs. And everybody goes, oh, it's so cool. But as you get older, nobody thinks that's cool.
No, no.
But, it's with everything, all of our strength. And then last week was probably we could spend hours of podcasts on last week's topic.
Yes.
Teaching God's word.
Diligently.
And knowing it ourselves. And it's not just a matter of, I memorized those verses. But it is a matter of I apply them fervently. Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm always thinking, what should I do based on the Bible?
Right.
How does the Bible apply here? How do I live based on the truth of God's word? And God's word is full of principles for every detail of our life. There's kind of a saying going around in which people will say, well, the Bible is silent about that. And I learned from a friend of mine, the Bible is never silent because God always takes his words and addresses all the issues of our life.
Right.
When we're in the valley, when there's a standard question, which is the right, what is right, what is wrong.
Right.
The word of God, the more you get to know it, the more you realize it's full of principles and commands and truth and applications to every situation we face.
Right.
Our problem is that we really don't think about it. It has to be on purpose. It has to be definitive, and it has to be diligent.
Right.
And so it's quite a big one. Go back and listen to last week's, and maybe listen to it again if you haven't done so.
Yes.
And one of the areas where you definitely want to succeed is in taking God's word and putting it in the hearts of your children in such a way that it affects their life, governs their life.
Right.
They're able to think it. They can make decisions based on it. Mm-hmm. That is building a successful Christian family.
Even in some of our family conferences, I've heard you preach that the word of God then will speak to them.
Yes.
So that
Proverbs 6 says that.
Yes. You don't want to just put it in there and have them memorize it and then, they can spit out a verse. Mm-hmm. You want it to actually become part of their life, and that when they're older, that word of God will pop up in their heart, will pop up in their mind, and will actually speak to them and say, this is what you should do in this area. Or if they have just done their own thing and been selfish in an area, I know in my life, I've had the word of God pop up in my heart and say, you should not have said that.
Sure.
You should not have done that. This is what we need to do to correct it.
Absolutely. So this is an important area, vitally important. Now today we're going to go into the fifth principle that we've learned, the fifth step in Deuteronomy 6. And this one is almost an American step in the sense that this really nails us as Americans. Mm. And we are just really, really excited about this one today. So go ahead and read for us. Remind us. She's going to read. Bethany's going to review what we learned last week, the verses from last week, and then jump into the next few verses that address the fifth step that we want to talk about.
So these verses are from Deuteronomy chapter 6, and I'll be reading verses 6 through 12. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged, excuse me, and wells digged,
those
which
are,
thou
those are
diggest
tough verses to read.
Not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage.
Now, this is an interesting text.
Yes.
And just in paraphrasing it, what he basically says is that there's going to come a day in your life when you're going to live in houses you didn't build. Mm. You're going to drink water from wells you didn't dig. Mm-hmm. And you're going to enjoy food from vineyards you didn't plant them.
Right.
And then he says, you're going to eat so much that you're going to be full.
Yes.
And that one always makes me chuckle because that's our culture. Mm. We do, most of us live in homes we didn't build.
Right.
And most of us drink water that we didn't dig that well.
Right.
Who digs a well anymore? And we go to the grocery store and buy food that was grown in vineyards and farms and,
yes,
you know, fields. We didn't plant those.
Right.
And we have eaten to the point that we're full.
Yes.
And that shows up so much when we say, hey, where would you like to go out to eat? And the whole idea is, I don't like that. I don't want that. I don't know.
Care.
I don't care. You know, whatever. Because we're so full.
We're so blessed.
Many of you have probably heard me tell about the time I was in Haiti and I was speaking at a conference. And it was just a phenomenal conference. And when it was all said and done, my missionary friend, Rodney Fitzsimmons, Brother Fitzsimmons said, hey, would you like to get a bite to eat? And I said, without even really thinking, I said, I'm not necessarily that hungry. And he said, well, what's that got to do with it? And it caught me off guard. And I thought, you know, that's right. What does that have to do with it? Mm. We don't eat because we're hungry. We eat because we're full. Oh. And we're so blessed. And food is just what we do. And our son, I know how many times is Jacob, our son, maybe we've sat down to watch a movie or a film. You've been more conservative. And we've sat down to watch a movie. And our son's like, where's the pretzels? We're out of pretzels. Or we're out of, what is it? They also eat the crackers.
They love goldfish crackers.
Goldfish crackers. Mm-hmm. And we should probably start a goldfish farm. And because our kids eat a lot of those. But we snack. We're so blessed. So here's what Moses says. There's going to come a day in this life when you have so many blessings that all is going to be so well in your life. There's going to be a massive danger.
Yes.
And it is a potentially colossal failure.
Mm.
Has the potential for colossal failure. So he says to the nation of Israel, when all this happens, when you're so crazy blessed, remember not to forget God. Don't forget God. You've been listening to Keeping It Young, where we have conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. Today was the beginning of our episode entitled 7 Vital Steps for Building a Christian Family, Part 5. I hope you'll join us next time as we continue this conversation.
For more information or to hear more Keeping It Young, go to tilradio.org or keepingityoungpodcast.com. This has been a co-production with Keeping It Young and TIL Radio Network.